Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, good morning. It's great to be with you today. And to begin our new sermon series, It's Time. Now, the Bible tells us that there's time for everything. There's a time to be born, there's a time to die, there's a time to plant, and there's a time to reap. And I remember a few years ago when my grandfather was coming to the end of his time here on earth. He knew his time was short. And in most conversations with myself or with others, he would often say these words, "My times are in his hands." And he was quoting Psalm 31, but he was also making it clear that he knew that he was coming to the end of his time here on earth, but about to transition into a place beyond time. He was also making reference to this rest of his time here on earth, that he recognized that God had been in control and he had seen God move on his behalf and taken him into different seasons and times. Now, it's so important that we recognize and understand time. You know, the Bible also says this in Ecclesiastes, that he has made everything beautiful in his time. The Bible also teaches us that not only are our times in his hands, that it's important that we understand the times. The men of Issachar are described as men who understood the times, but they also knew what to do. Jesus knew all about his time. He knew that when his ministry was to begin, at the wedding at Cana of Galilee, he said to his mother, after he'd been prompted to perform a miracle, that his hour had not yet come. And then he looked ahead to the end of his life when he recognized it was time to go to Jerusalem to go and complete the work of salvation upon the cross. It's so important that we understand the times. Now, God is in control of all things. He is in control of the times in our life and the seasons. But it's our responsibility that we are sensitive enough to discern the time that we are living in. Timing is everything. Have you ever said something at the wrong time and immediately after saying it, totally regret opening your mouth? It could have been during one of those heated discussions you've maybe had with someone. And to try and claw back, you've said something that you wish you'd never said. Come on, we've all had moments like that when we've said something at the wrong time. Something that maybe is true, something that maybe shouldn't have been said, but when we see it, we recognize, I should have kept my mouth shut right now. Timing is everything. It's so important that we know what time it is. So can I ask you today, do you know what time it is? Do you know the time that you are in right now? And I believe over these next few weeks, as you hear these different sermons, that God's going to speak to you and help you to discern the time that you are in right now and what you are to do in this time. Turn them in your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1. Now, Deuteronomy is not a book that often I hear people say, that's my favorite book of the Bible, but it's quite a unique book. It's a book which reviews 40 years of the nation of Israel. It's a book which covers the last few weeks of Moses, the great leader's life, and just before the people of Israel walk into the promised land. It's in this book that we hear once again about how Israel entered into covenant with God at Sinai. And then for the next 40 years, God shows them what it looks like to follow him. He gives them laws and practices that they are to adhere to until Jesus completed the work on the cross. It took 40 years to complete an 11-day journey. The issue wasn't geography. The issue was the condition of their hearts. And we get to this point where just before Moses passes away and just before they move into the promised land, Moses is reminding everyone of what God has done, but also clearly tells them what time it is. Turn with me then to chapter 1 of Deuteronomy. We read these words in verse 6. The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, at Sinai, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Arabah, in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Negev, and along the coast to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon as far as the great river, the Euphrates. See, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them. Recently in our time off, we were staying in a hotel, and one of the best bits about staying in a hotel is the buffet breakfast. I love in the morning heading down to the restaurant and being able to just pick whatever you like from the buffet. I like having a little bit of the continental and then going to the cooked breakfast as well. And a common feature in the buffet breakfast is the toaster. Now, these toasters are not similar to the one you have in your house today. The one you put the bread in and it pops out when it's ready. It's those toasters that are like a conveyor belt. And for some reason, they are the slowest conveyor belts in the world. Last week, I was there and I was putting our bread in and I'm watching the toast go through the toaster and sort of guarding it so nobody behind me in the queue can pinch my toast. And then eventually, after it had gone through the process, it came out and, I'll be honest, you'd thought it hadn't even been toasted. So I put it back in again. But this time, after it went through the process, it came out and it was burnt. It had been in there too long. You know, it's so important that we don't stay in the same place too long. Here we pick up the story where Moses is telling, reminding the people of Israel that there was this point in their journey early on when they began their covenant with God that it was time to move on. And could I say to you today, it's time to break camp and to move on. Just like in our spiritual journeys, we are not on, our spiritual life is not a destination. It's a journey. We are walking with God. He is leading us and we're following him. He's taking us to where he wants us to be. And it's so important that we don't forget to listen to God and realize he's leading us and taking us somewhere. It's so important that we don't stay too long. I remember a few years ago I was in Manchester for the UEFA Cup final. The glorious Glasgow Rangers had qualified and made it all the way to the final, and I didn't have a ticket for the match, but me and a mate thought we're going to go and just soak up the atmosphere and enjoy our team getting to the UEFA Cup final. We made our way down there, we enjoyed it, the whole day was fantastic, we went for something to eat, and then afterwards returned to the spot where we were going to view the match on one of those great big jumbo TV screens. When we got there, though, after a few moments, we both realised that the atmosphere wasn't great. And I said to my friend, I says, look, I think we should go somewhere else because it doesn't matter what happens tonight. I don't think we're going to enjoy the match here. So we stepped away, and on our way out, we spoke to a policeman and said, look, is there anywhere else we could watch the match? Because it's kind of a bit crowded here and it's not a good atmosphere. And he says, well, if you head up to the stadium, they've opened up the velodrome next door where you can go in and you can watch the match. So we headed up to the City of Manchester Stadium. We went and we soaked up the atmosphere outside the ground before the match, head into the velodrome, watched the match, didn't get the result we were wanting, but left there and headed back to our car. On our way back to the car, we had to walk through the city centre. And we were stopped by police officers who said, you can't go any further because there's been a riot in the city centre. And we were like, what do you mean? He told us, well, what happened is, where we had been originally, just before the match, the TV screen had broken. Nobody could see the match. And people got really angry and started fighting and started rioting, and it just went crazy. We missed all that because there was a moment when we just sensed, I don't think we should stay here any longer. We need to go somewhere else. Could I say it to you today, maybe God is saying to you, you've been in this same place too long. It's time to break camp and to move on. Why should we do this? Why is it important that we don't stay too long? Well, let me give you two or three reasons why it's important. First of all, when we stay too long, if we take the attitude, why can we not just stay here? This is nice. This is fine. This is all we need. When we have that attitude, firstly, we start to look towards recreating moments that have already passed. If they had stayed at Sinai, they would never have experienced the land of Canaan and everything God had for them. Secondly, you begin to lean on tradition and preferences rather than seeking revelation and experiencing transformation. Tradition and preferences are based on past experiences, and they will keep us from moving into our destiny. Whereas revelation, what God is saying, where he's leading us to, will bring us to that point of transformation. That's the journey that we are on, where God is making us more like Jesus. That is where we need to be heading. Thirdly, you become frustrated because when others start moving on, you realize you've been left behind. Finally, if you stay too long, you begin to identify with the past and not with the future, what God has for you. It's so important that we move forward. And how do you know if you've stayed too long? Well, there's two ways. First of all, it'll be in your thinking and also in your talking. If you're thinking negatively, if you're becoming frustrated, if you start fault-finding and becoming critical, discouraging others, if you find that's your place right now, could I suggest to you, you've stayed in that place too long. It's time to break camp and to start moving forward. Too many people over this last while have allowed external circumstances to dictate their inner spiritual life. They've stayed at Sinai when God has said, it's time to break camp and to move forward. It's time to keep on growing. It's time to keep on moving. He is calling you. He is leading you. It's our responsibility to follow after him. The danger of staying too long is that if God is said to move and you stay, then you miss out on what he has for you. What keeps us from breaking camp? Fear. Fear of the unknown. When we're in that place where we know everything, how it's supposed to be, how it's been, this is just fine and cozy. But God is telling us today we have to break camp and to move on. See, the other thing that holds us back is the idols of comfort and security, where we just want to play it safe and be in control and have everything our way. But God has said it's time. You've stayed here too long. It's time to break camp and to move forward. In my teenage years, I was part of the scout group in Fraserbrand. We went on summer camps, and it was a great time. But at the end of the camp, it was a time when we had to take down all the tents and put them back in the truck and head home because camp was over. And can you just picture right now this nation in tents, and Moses has said, we've stayed here too long. The Lord God has said, it's too long we've stayed at this mountain. It's time to break camp and to move on. Picture all these tents being taken down onto the back of the animals and on their way to the promised land, on their way to where God was leading them. What is breaking camp? It is resolving that what God has for me is greater than what I have now. It's greater than my comfort and my preferences, because there is more. Can I say to you today, friend, that regardless of where you are on your journey of starting out, or you've been maybe saved for many, many years, there is more. God is not finished with you yet. There is more for you. His plan and His purpose is not over yet. He's calling you forward. He's calling you to keep on moving. There is more. There is more. There is a deeper understanding of who He is. There is a greater intimacy with Him. There is more opportunity for God to work through you to advance His kingdom and to bring Him glory. It's time to break camp and to move forward. Breaking camp is taking down what we have put up. It's laying down our will and picking up and pursuing His will. So what do you need to lay down? Well, can I suggest to you three tents that we need to take down today? The first one is the tent of the past. And in that tent are things like sin, our old life, bad behaviors, disappointment, discouragement, doubt. It could be a hurt. It could be a grievance. Something that has happened to you before now, you need to bring it down. You've got to break camp. The tent of your past will keep you from moving into what God has for you. And the truth is that your enemy wants to keep you in your past. He wants to remind you of all your regrets and mistakes. He wants you to stay in a place of hurt and grievance. He wants you to stay there so that you don't move forward. The second tent that we need to take down is the tent of pride. Pride is everything that will stop us from moving forward, because it talks about things like selfishness, stinginess, offense, I've been wronged, jealousy, why have I not got this? Envy of others, unforgiveness, well, they should say sorry first. A place of bitterness. Your enemy wants to keep you in this tent of pride so that you never experience the promised land, the abundant life that God has for you. It's time to break camp. It's time to take down the tent of pride. And finally, there's the tent of comfort. The smallness, the small thinking, the place of apathy and self-sufficiency. We've got all that we need here. This is just fine. But God has said, you've been here too long. It's time to break camp and it's time to move forward. The tent of your past, the tent of pride, and the tent of comfort have got to come down so that you can move forward. You know, the easy option is to stay at Sinai. Just follow the rules. Just do everything that we've always done, but never experience the fullness of what Jesus came to bring to us. He did not come to give us restriction. He came to bring freedom and liberty. He came so that we could live an abundant life here today. But your enemy wants you to stay in that prison, in that camp of your past, in pride and in comfort. One of the best ways to break camp and to get breakthrough is to engage in this time of prayer and fasting as a church. It's in this experience where we surrender, where we subtract areas of our life, things that are of less importance, so that that of ultimate importance has our full focus and attention. In these next few days of prayer and fasting, can I encourage you to ask God to help you to break camp so that you can move in to all that God has for you? Jesus knew His time. He knew His time for ministry, and He knew His time to go to the cross. He knew the seasons and the times of His earthly life. He knew and He taught us that to be part of the kingdom, we are to move forward. This is his words. He says this in Luke chapter 9. He says, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. He's telling us that we have to look forward so that we can plow in a straight line, but that we are able to move forward into what he has for us. He also taught us this other lesson, that there is so much more for us than what we have seen so far. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. A man by the name of Jim Elliot read that verse in the Bible and made a decision to surrender his life and go in the mission field. He was a U.S. missionary who went to Ecuador. And whilst in Ecuador, he heard about this unreached people group that were like Stone Age. They were way back, untouched by human society in the 20th century. Really going back, unreached people. And he heard about these people and he had a heart and a burden to reach them. So him and four friends, they decided that they would begin to fly their plane over the area where they were living, and they were looking for a settlement of this people group. And eventually they discovered them on the banks of a river, and they looked up ahead and they noticed there was an area where they could land their plane and they could set up a base and begin to build relationships with this people group. And when they'd landed in that and set things up, it wasn't long before two or three people from the tribe came along and were amazed at this aeroplane and these white people that had came to meet with them. In fact, one of them actually went up in the plane with the missionaries. And they went back to the rest of the tribe, and some other people in the tribe were suspicious of these white men that had came to them. And they thought, well, they might be here to harm us. And on one occasion, 10 people from that tribe came to confront Jim and the other four missionaries, and they killed them. Now, they thought they had made friends, but they thought, we better kill them before they kill us. Jim had left his wife and his young daughter back at the missionary base, and when they'd found out about it, they were so sad. But they continued to love this people group. And in a short time afterwards, some others from that tribe came to Jim's wife Elizabeth and said, can you come and tell us about your Jesus? And Jim's wife Elizabeth and their daughter, they began with other missionaries to build relationships, and through their witness, that people group, many turned to Jesus. Speaking later in life, Jim's daughter sad that she didn't really know her dad because she was so young, but was glad that his martyrdom had showed so many other people, so many other Christians, what true commitment to Christ looks like. See, Jim said these words in his diary a few years before he was martyred. He is no fool who gives that which he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Can I ask you, would you have the courage of Jim Elliot today to decide that I'm not going to stay here any longer in the tent of comfort, of pride, in the tent of my past? I'm breaking camp and I'm moving forward into everything that God has for me. There is more. There is more for you today. You're not finished yet. God has got a plan and a purpose for you. He's calling you towards it. Will you say yes today? You're maybe watching me today and you've never said yes to Jesus. You've never begun a relationship with him. Well, I want to give you that opportunity right now. Because as I explained, Jesus knew that his mission and purpose in life was at the end to become the sacrifice for our sins. Whilst he hung upon the cross, he took your place. He took your punishment so that today you could ask your Father in heaven to forgive you of your sin, all that rubbish, all that regret, your past. You could ask him to forgive, and because of what Jesus has done, he will forgive you of your sin. He'll give you a new start. He'll make you into a new person, and he will give you an abundant life, but also the promise of eternal life. So Daniel, that's me. I want to begin that relationship today. Well, it's really simple. Just follow this prayer sincerely from your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came into this world, that you went to the cross, you took my place, you took my sin. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Make me into a new person by the power of your Spirit. I confess you are my Lord. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that prayer right now, please reach out to us. Give us a message so that we can connect with you, help you on your journey. Brothers and sisters, can I encourage you today? Don't stay too long. It's time to break camp. It's time to move forward. It's time to advance into all that God has for us. It's time.